we're back here on Dollars and Cents on MichiganBusinessNetwork.com. I'm your host, Patrick A. Heller, the Communications Officer at Liberty Coin Service in Lansing. And we're continuing with our interview here with Brett Eirich, who has his fingers in state, regional, and national coin organizations, as well as a Canadian one. Before the break, I mentioned about the federal government expanding the Hobby Protection Act, partly in response to the problems of growing imports of counterfeit coins in the United States and being offered for sale, particularly in internet sales venues, to unsuspecting people. What I have seen is that just passing the law by itself is not sufficient to start enforcing the law. Basically, you need to have education within government agencies and law enforcement so that they know crimes have been committed and right. And how do you prosecute them.
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. Right at the moment, there's a great deal of activity in the country of China, or the People's Republic of China, that's hitting coins in the coin market harder in Canada than it is in the United States, but it's an issue in both countries. In addition, there are some pre-1933 U.S. gold coin counterfeits coming out of the Middle East, and a lot of times they get offered, sadly, to our military at discount rates, and they come home and they find they have something that's no good. And it's an age-old problem. A counterfeit coin probably came along not many days after the first real coin was made 2,600 years ago.
That does happen. We see contemporary counterfeits of coins that were made, say, in an adjoining land to pass as circulating money 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. So counterfeiting is not a unique or recent development.
So, you know, within the numismatic hobby and the base of dealers, we're a family. We are governed by a code of ethics and must maintain our integrity in the hobby and the community, because without that, we wouldn't have a career or be able to participate. And as such, we very carefully keep an eye on counterfeit or altered material. We also, when we purchase collections, take a careful look at it, and sadly we have to tell somebody that somebody glued a mint mark onto an otherwise not very valuable coin, or they raised a mint mark on it, or the coin's made out of brass when it should be gold, or we can tell that somebody made something with a counterfeit die. And 99.9% of the time, the person that's attempting to sell that type of thing that didn't know about it will say, you know, bad news, but, you know, I'll let you take it off the market for me. We destroy it immediately, or we send it to either the Secret Service or the American Numismatic Association, which are the two legal keepers of this type of material, and they use that to train numismatists in detection. I've taken that class, and the Secret Service runs a parallel course.
That's correct. Now, the American Numismatic Association actually does have workshops on programs called Detection of Counterfeit and Altered Coins, which coin dealers, collectors, and other people are available to, you know, subscribe to attend. The Numismatic Crime Information Center puts on seminars for law enforcement officials to help them investigate numismatic crimes, so that, as law enforcement people have told me, the investigators need to know that a crime has been committed, that the person, or, you know, they have counterfeit coins, and that they knowingly have them, and therefore they're trying to commit a crime rather than just somebody that innocently has them, and, you know, gather the evidence to prosecute it.
You know, what's very interesting there is beyond the American Numismatic Association's specific week-long course, which I've taken, which is a real eye-opener, in the coin grading classes, quite typically there'll be a round of coins that they send around, and 5 or 10 of the coins that they send around in a row will all be various forms of no-good coins or not genuine coins. And it'll, you know, even though you have experienced dealers, it will fool most of them, and that's a real eye-opener. So when we look at a coin, the first thing we do is determine whether it's real.
That's
once
right.
Once we make that determination, then we move on from there. But if we don't stop and think about, is it real, then we could be letting another problem stay on the market. And a good case in point is, came from Canada last year. A competitive exhibitor somehow managed to put in an exhibit on display, and a member of the public pointed out that he had violated at least one statute of the Criminal Code of Canada, and he ended up taking some of his collection down to the police and made a report on himself, saying, "I did this unintentionally, here's my material," because that's how seriously he took it as an elected representative for a provincial level organization.
Okay. In a little bit of time we have left here, could you tell people how they could contact the American Numismatic Association or the Michigan State Numismatic Society if they're interested in membership or further information?
Well, if you're American Numismatic Association, can be contacted on www.money.org, and the Michigan State organization can be contacted on www.michigancoinclub.org. Both are outstanding organizations, and both websites are extensive and will answer any question you might have.
Great. I've been enjoying our interview here today with Brett Eirich of the Detroit area, current president of the Michigan State Numismatic Society, and wearing a lot of different hats with the Central States Numismatic Society, American Numismatic Association, and the Royal Canadian Numismatic Association. Thank you for being here today, Brett. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents here on MichiganBusinessNetwork.com. I'm your host, Patrick A. Heller, the communications officer at Liberty Coin Service in Lansing, and we'll be back after these messages.